Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. I started to tell you a few moments ago about my little parrot, Professor Muggsy Wisecracker, little African gray. And he says the most amazing things. He'll tell me sometimes, he says, I'll pray for you. Huh? Isn't that something? But you know, one thing that I've known for a long time is these little creatures, little animals, I believe they can hear from the Lord. Better than people. You know, before the San Francisco earthquake, you know, all the animals left. There wasn't a squirrel, a bird, cats and dogs took off if they could. And they kind of know certain things. And my little parrot yesterday said, earthquake. And I don't know where he heard that, but I wonder if he isn't on to something. You know, we had one in the Midwest here not long ago. It rattled a lot of places. And if you look around the world at the disasters that are going on right now, why aren't people moved by this, I wonder? Volcanoes, typhoons, earthquakes, hurricanes, fires, you name it, it's everywhere. Who could in their, well, a lot of people aren't in their right minds because they've been brainwashed. But can any thinking person look at the United States and the rest of the world for that matter and say that God isn't already beginning to judge it? And when he does that so that people, the remnant that are asleep, will wake up and worship him and praise him and reach out to him for the fullness of his salvation, to be filled with his word and then thusly be filled with his spirit. Amen. But there are very strange forces at work in our day. We were told, we were warned in advance by the Lord Jesus Christ that there would be great opposition, a great falling away, a great apostasy. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we've had all that told to us in advance. And what I'm going to do this morning is preach a message of exhortation that the Lord has put on my heart. And I'm going to pray first. And then we're going to look at the subject of seducing spirits. Shall we call upon the Lord together? Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we approach thy holy and almighty throne humbly, O Lord, and in prayer, asking, O God, that thou wouldst speak to our hearts this morning, that thou wouldst move upon us. O Lord, that thou wouldst get a hold of thy people this day into their innermost being. And Lord, that we would receive thy word from heaven, that we would be shaken and moved by it, O God. Let thy spirit flow upon us, O Lord. Let the power from heaven come down, O God. And O Lord, help us, I pray, to receive thy word and that we would follow hard after thee as a result of it. Let the devil be rebuked, bound, cast out, and put to flight. Let thy precious Holy Spirit, O Lord, even the Holy Ghost, come down, O Lord, and minister to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right. We're going to open our Bibles, first of all, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first few verses. And of course, the word starts out here by telling us that it's the Spirit that's speaking. Now, I believe every word in the Bible. I believe that this word is 100% absolutely accurate. I've been challenged on that a lot of times. You know, people say, what about this? This looks like a contradiction. No, no, there's no contradiction in it. When you really look at it and the Lord is guiding you, you can reconcile all of it so quickly and easily. See, the only contradictions there are in people's hearts. Charles Taze Russell, one of the founders of the Jehovah's Witnesses, made the statement that there's over 3,000 mistakes in the King James Bible. Now, I realize there are 3,000 mistakes, but they're not in the King James Bible. They're in Charles Taze Russell's head, or they were. He knows better now because he's dead. He's assumed room temperature. So he knows better now. No, God said he would preserve his word, and I stand upon that promise. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. That he would preserve it for all of his people for all time. It's forever settled in heaven, and he can take care of it on earth. Now, that taken care of. Let's move on. We're going to look at this subject of seducing spirits, and of course the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 starts out by saying, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." That means right to you. This is the express here, huh? Expressly, that in the latter times, now I don't think I have to convince you that's where we're at, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That people would be drawn away. They're still spiritual, but they're drawn away by another spirit. I'm not talking about the avowed atheists and so forth. They're already cooked. But, you know, I'm talking about people that are that claim to be spiritual. Some claim to be Christian. You know, I noticed something over the course of my studies and observations. Did you ever notice how many harlots, how many whores, to put it bluntly, wear crosses? People like Madonna, Britney Spears. Of course, there are no symbols of Christianity anyway, but the inference is there. And it's a blasphemy, it's a mockery. And if you look around at these things, and you look around at the world itself, and at every level, from human government all the way down through the educational system, economic system, the churches, religions, all these different things, there are seducing spirits operating. And because of that, people are being drawn into this realm of deception. They're being corralled and hornswoggled into believing a lie and cooperating with a system that will destroy their very souls. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can take you out of it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only door, the only way. Religions have proven themselves to be false and continue to do it as they embrace all this yoga, Eastern religion. You know, they even have yoga now for classes for babies, beginning at age 3 weeks. You imagine taking a little 3-week-old baby and teaching them yoga, and they grow up with this stuff? That's Hinduism. But they've got it in the Presbyterian Church and the United Methodist Church. Yoga, Hinduism. And it's a very clever way that they present it. They say, we just do it for the physical benefit. We don't do it. You can't separate any of that into a physical benefit. It is a spiritual thing. It's a physical act producing a spiritual result that destroys the soul. And hospitals promote it. Health clubs promote it. Yoga, yoga, yoga. Where'd this come from? Indian, Hindu religion. Oh, I'll tell you what. This nation has been seduced. There is a spirit of harlotry at work. Not only on the streets of our cities, but in the pulpits and in the halls of government. A seducing whore drawing and calling and trying to present herself as a seductress, as a wonderful, desirable thing. Well, let's look at what the Bible has to say about this spirit. First of all, it says that many are going to give heed to it, and with it comes doctrines of devils. Remember this, every doctrine has a devil behind it, unless it's God's doctrine. Every teaching has a spirit attached to it. Even atheism. Isn't that something with these atheists? They insult the God they claim doesn't exist. Well, in verse 2 it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Not only are they lies, but they are hypocrites. They are actors. We've seen a lot of those around. You know, it's really something on Friday the 13th. Secretary of State Powell, was holding a black cat. Now, why did they do that on Friday the 13th? That poor cat. But here's Colin Powell, for in a photo op for Friday the 13th, holding his black cat, who's also named Colin Powell. You know, these are little signals. Do you realize that? When they hold flowers a certain way or wear a certain color tie or a certain type of lapel pin like that one that all of these first ladies have been wearing, that phoenix on there, they're signaling to those that are in the same group with them. And a lot of people just don't have the foggiest about what's going on. But there is a powerful, seducing, antichrist spirit reaching and calling out to people, drawing them into this realm of oppression. I don't know why people can't see through some of this stuff. You know, they had the Democratic National Convention out there in Boston. And in the old days, people used to walk around with these signs, protest signs. My favorite sign was "Down with protests." But they walk around with these protest signs all over the place. Now they put you in a cage. They had what they call a freedom cage. Freedom of speech cage is what it was. Who ever heard of a freedom cage? But all the protesters had to go in there and they had to walk around with their signs inside a cage made of chain link fence with razor wire on the top. Doesn't that make you feel free? Because, of course, of the danger of terrorism. A bomb they drop on you every day. See, they have to intimidate you and then seduce you and bring you into this new world order. They have to take all the fight out of you. They have to turn you into one of these people that were characterized in The Wizard of Oz, remember? No heart, no courage, and no brains. That's the kind of people they want. They showed you in that whole movie. And of course, they're able to lay this all out for you. We will take care of you. You don't have to know anything. Remember Rush Limbaugh on the radio? When I speak, there's nothing more to be said. Huh? Half my brain tied behind my back. He says, nothing more to be said. You don't have to ask anybody else. Just listen to me and you'll know it all. And then he calls himself Maharishi, as in Mahabon. You know, I was at Oshkosh one time at the university, and when I was working there, turned the radio on at noon, and something strange happened, very peculiar. The Rush Limbaugh program was going to come on, but they turned the microphone on early. And he was having a normal conversation. It's amazing they have a whole different voice when they're just conversing, instead of that radio voice, you know, that they project. And he was telling his call screener, Bo Snerdly, which has to be fictitious. Nobody could have a name like that. But he was telling him, he said, I just had a call from David Rockefeller. And he said, don't allow any caller to call in and talk about the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, or anything about a conspiracy. Don't let them on the air. And then his music came on, and his microphone came on. His microphone was on, and he didn't know it. And there's just always a little bird in the tree to tell you something, huh? No, they it's a controlled, everything out there is a con. It's all controlled. The Bible says it this way, the whole world lieth in wickedness. How much? All of it, 100%. We have no direction we can look but up. There is where our Savior calls us. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Because every other direction you look, you will see seducing spirits beckoning you to come in to the harlotry of the Antichrist system. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. No conscience, it's been cauterized. Been seared over. Forbidding to marry. Sounds like Catholicism to me. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, we know that there are seducing spirits out there bringing all this Eastern religion in, all these different trains of thought, meditation, and tree hugging, you know. I don't think we should go and destroy things purposely. But I'm talking about people who literally worship trees and rocks, inanimate objects. Where did that come from? Well, if they can take little babies, 3 weeks old, and start teaching them yoga, where are they going to end up? Let's go back a little ways here to Ephesians chapter 4 and build on this thought. In Ephesians chapter 4, in the first verse, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So we are called into the kingdom of God, not to have our spiritual life be an avocation, but a vocation. Your first calling is to be a Christian, a real one. Amen. To be a shining light, a witness, that men would guide their families. Amen. That women would raise their children, if they have children. But whatever they're doing, they do all to the glory of God. That's our calling. First and foremost, above and beyond everything else. That we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That we get ourselves out of the way, our own emotion, all the things that would trouble us, and we are seeking and desiring the unity of the Holy Ghost, to be right with God. Think what it would be if every person, their main desire would be just to be right with God. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? If everybody truly sought that, then we'd all get along with each other too. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See all the ones there? You know why that's listed like that? Because truth always is singular and error is always plural. There's one true Bible, many false Bibles. There's one true God, many false gods. There's one true church, many false churches. One true doctrine, many false doctrines. And if you read all of the Bible, the whole book of God, take the whole counsel of God, you can only come up with one doctrine. And that is that God is sovereign, and we are lost without Him, and He gives us the way of salvation. Amen. That's what we come up with, and thank God for it. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. We function on gifts from God. We've earned nothing. I came here 30 years ago. Actually, that's when the church began, on Labor Day, 30 years ago. And this has been my life's work here. This, Last Trumpet Ministries, the newsletter, thousands of tapes going out all over the world. We're reaching a lot of people. Really, it's very small number comparatively, but we are reaching a significant number of people. God's using the ministry. But you know what? After spending 30 years of my life doing this, I have earned absolutely nothing. God owes me nothing. In fact, I am still so indebted to Him, I could never pay it. What I have is by His grace. And I realize that. And when you look up into that starlit sky and see the glory of God, as David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork, it makes you realize how small and insignificant we really are. In fact, we are worth nothing but what God was willing to pay for us. Now think about that. And you can't calculate the value of the blood of Jesus. How He would take something so worthless as you and I and put that kind of a value on us, and then said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul. And I see these people lined up buying lottery tickets. You know, so many people on Social Security, elderly people, lined up at these convenience stores buying lottery tickets, cashing their Social Security check. The government gets that money back. And there they are, and they're hooked on this, and I feel sorry for them. There's such a blindness, a deafness that is there. And they buy these things trying to get a little piece of the world. And people put all of their hope in the wrong places, all of their expectations in this world. If we would use that kind of energy to reach out to God, if we stand in line to get into a place where people are worshiping and praying so that we can just join them and glorify God, I'll tell you what, a whole lot of wonderful things would happen. Because when you seek the Lord, you will find Him. Rather, He will find you. For it tells us in the book of Isaiah, in that awesome and beautiful scripture, I am found of them that sought me not. But when you draw nigh unto the Lord will draw nigh unto you. And as you're thus reaching out to Him, you're not hearing the voice of seduction. Amen. The Lord's invitation is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Out there, there's all this big variety of seducing spirits. Come my way, do this, join that, be a part of this. Many, many, many seducing spirits. But there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then we're given that measure of grace. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts, folks, gifts unto men. Do you realize that you have something within you that is given to you from God Himself, the Creator of the universe? His divine grace, that spark of faith. That little faith is a grain of mustard seed that can move a mountain. So great is the power of God. It's a gift. He has given us these things, and I believe, and I'm going to challenge you this morning, we are living far below our privileges. When people come fully awake and realize what God has given them, what's really in all of that, that there's a depth to it that we've not yet reached, that there are prayers we have prayed and not yet deep enough, that little bit more that's worth all the rest, that brings you to the very throne of the Almighty and opens His glory unto you. And your prayers begin to be answered one after another, after another, after another. Because you prayed through and past the veil of the flesh and into the realm of the Spirit. And you've gone one step further where you've never gone before. He gave gifts unto men. What would keep people from doing such things? Oh, they're seduced away into different activities. Seducing spirits that say, you're too busy for that, but you need some relaxation here. Come my way. Do this. Let down your guard. Relax. But we must never let up. We must never let go. And we must never come to a place where we're not conscious of the presence of God. Amen. You know, once in a while I pound this pulpit or podium, whatever you want to call it. One woman wrote in and she said, what's that noise all at, that pounding? She said, I don't like that. Well, sorry, but that's just part of the whole thing. I get excited. And I suppose I could put some foam rubber here and wouldn't make as much noise. But we read on, it says, now that He ascended, what is it? But that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. What did He do? He went down and opened that temporary place of confinement where people went, that Abraham's bosom there. He opened that up. He took those that were waiting. Remember, while the ark was preparing, it says, He went and preached to the spirits in prison. He took them up with him. Amen. And praise God for paradise. Jesus said to that thief on the cross there in his right hand, remember how he said, remember me when thou goest into thy kingdom? And Jesus looked at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. You're coming with me when I go. Jesus made time for him, didn't he? That was, you know why that happened? To show that he had time for you. Amen. That if you will be at his right hand, you will be with him forever. And what is the cry that goes forth from those at his right hand, even now? Folks, we're already at the right hand of God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10, right? When you're in the presence of God, in the favor of God, he's already giving you the blessings of his right hand. Stay there. Keep doing it. Because you're going to see a throne someday. And it's all going to be realized, and there you'll be. You don't want to be at the left hand. Amen. We want to be sons of his right hand, Ben Yamin. Ben Yamin, son of my joy, son of my right hand. Amen. And so, these seducing spirits that are out there are ever calling, and many are following. How do I know? How do I know they're following? I can tell by the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they act. I can tell by their purple hair, orange hair. I can tell by the piercings through the ears, through the nose, through the eyebrows, through the head. I can tell by the tattoos. And you know what? With all those markings and mutilation of the flesh and cuttings of the flesh, what's one more? What's a little microchip? What's one more? Now the hospitals have said they're going to be, they're consulting with Verichip in Florida. They discovered that they can put an RFID in the fatty tissue under the tricep, on the underarm of the right arm. That little, you ever see one of these? You've seen these on labels. I just saw a label on Friday. I told the guy, peel that thing off of there. I'm going to buy this. I said, peel it off. And he did. Underneath was a printed circuit. And when this gets near a scanner or a reader, it wakes up and has all this information in it. And hospitals said for positive ID, see, these doctors make so many mistakes. You got to remember something about doctors. They bury their mistakes. But they make so many mistakes that now they want to put this thing under the arm of patients that come in. Then they got positive ID. They can track them. They know right where they are. And it stays there. It's an implant. There's a lot of this stuff going on. Where is it all coming from? These are seducing spirits, and they'll tell people, look, you need this. It's good for you. You see? You need a police state. You need troops marching up and down the streets. You need to have all of these police officers in full armor. With automatic, high-powered weapons, you need that presence in the streets all the time because that's for your own good. I'll tell you what, Orwell never would have believed it. Because we right now are living in an Orwellian panopticon. What I mean by that is, panopticon is something where they see every move you make, but you don't even know who's watching. And we're already there. And they have plans on how they're going to feed you, how they're going to clothe you. You might be wearing clothes with certain stripes and numbers on them. Who knows? But God takes care of us. You know, over in Russia, they just discovered something new. Scientists have made synthetic, and they said you can't tell the difference, coffee, milk, yogurt, and chocolate from blood. The one ingredient is blood. What they do is they take it apart, they reconstitute it, take the proteins. They said the proteins digest twice as fast as egg protein. I've got the name of the place where they're doing it. It's through Pravda, the Russian newspaper or news service, that put this out. And they're very proud of it. And they said, if you eat this stuff, you can't tell the difference. And they have been using the 7,000 pounds, I believe it is, of animal blood from a nearby stockyard that it produces every day to produce this this chocolate, coffee, milk, and yogurt from blood. What does the Bible say about blood? You don't eat it. It's forbidden, right? In the New Testament, in the book of Acts. But you see, Satan is defying everything that God ever said. He's finding a way to do it. Does the devil know the Bible? Yes. He knows what it says. And everything that God declared, he is against. He's against it. And so if God said not to eat blood, well, he's got them doing this now. I mean, how else are they going to solve the shortages and the hunger problems of the world? So we have all these things going on. What a world we're living in. You know, my grandfather had never believed it. My father wouldn't have believed it. I can hardly believe it. You go back one generation, and these are unheard of things. Science fiction back then is now. And they're taking protein parts, parts from pigs, and implanting them in people? Then you're part pig. There's no two ways about it. Huh? You know, if they take a, you got a pig's heart or pig's lungs or a pig's liver, and they're doing this stuff. Have to change your name to McSwine. Or whatever. But it's amazing what they're doing today. And people think it's a good thing. Should we not be asking a lot of questions as we see all these questionable things take place? But why? What's wrong with people? You don't even get a yawn out of them. Our troops are overseas. And what do we have going on here? Our country is literally falling and crumbling. What makes all this happen? Well, the Bible tells us in the last days you would have all that. Wars, rumors of wars, men's hearts failing them for fear. The powers of heaven would be shaken. The sea and the waves roaring. And because this nation has bought the lie that they can have it two ways, that they can modify truth to the extent that they can create a new religion that fits their own desires. Because they bought that lie, God has no alternative but to bring corrective measures against this nation and the world. And it's for the good of the remnant that they might wake up and see it and come out and cry out to God. And so the Bible tells us in verse 11, and I'm thankful for this, there's a big shortage in this department. But it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, in order to work perfection, in other words, to work on yourself, to be better, to be working toward or be in a perfecting process, you're going to be uncomfortable sometimes. You're going to find out that there are things that need changing or things that you can no longer do and things that you should do that you haven't done before. That's all part of it. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. If somebody preaches and tells you, look, this is how it's got to be. This is what we must do to be right with God. That is for our good, isn't it? See, God didn't call saints to perfect the ministry. He called the ministry to perfect the saints. It's their obligation. And I'll tell you, if they don't do it, God's going to get them for it. I had somebody tell me one time, you don't have a board of directors, and you don't have a bishop over you and all this stuff, and you're not answerable to anybody. And I looked at him and said, oh, you don't know the half of it. How the Lord beats up on me and crushes me down, lets pain go through me and throws me to the floor, and I got to cry out to Him and get things straightened out. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I had to do a lot of repenting and a lot of correcting in the 30 years of my ministry. But I'll tell you what, as I look in the Word of God, I can see that He has done a great work through that correcting process. And He's not finished with me yet. But I'll tell you what, I am answerable to God. And I'll tell you what, I do fear Him. Amen. There are things that I will not do because I'm afraid of what God would do to me if I did it. And so I just die in repentance to it, and that's it. And there are things you ought to be afraid to do and say because of what God will do. It's a healthy fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You'll find Him to be a God of love, of grace, of mercy, and never ending if you fear Him. Not in terror, but respect. He loves us, but we honor that. We respect that. You understand what I'm saying? He isn't going to terrorize you. He loves you, but we have to respect Him as our Father and do what He says and be right with Him. I hope I got that point across. I wouldn't want anybody to misunderstand that. He's not a God that is mean and vicious. No. He went to Calvary to save us. You understand that? But He is very, very much righteous and absolute. Amen. And that's good. You see, the devil's very ambiguous. He'll let people do anything. That's one of the claims of witchcraft, of course, and of Satanism, both. They are two very different things, but they both claim this, that in Christianity, everything is restricted, restricted, restricted. You know, we have love in Wicca, they say. We have love in Satanism because we'll let you do anything you want. What if you had a child old enough to do some damage, toddler, and you just said, now there's no restrictions, there won't be any rules. You can do anything you want. And then they start playing some Beethoven on the piano with a hammer, claw hammer, and start throwing things through windows. But I love you because, see, what proves that I love you is I'm letting you do anything you want. See? Isn't that love? That's like, I heard on the radio, there was some pornography star that died, and he had been with over 1,000 women in his lifetime. What a capacity for love. Huh? The more the merrier, huh? No, the reverse is true, isn't it? The capacity for love is measured by his, it would have been measured by his monogamy, but of course he really threw that to the wind. He died of AIDS. I'll tell you what, these seducing spirits that are out there, folks, it's universal. It's everywhere you look. All the taverns and gin mills and bars and nightclubs and gentlemen's clubs. And what are they like? Bright lights on the outside. And you go to the inside and it's dark. Dimly lit, because you're not supposed to go by sight. You're supposed to go by smell and feel. Like bacteria. Bright lights and swinging doors, but what's inside? The darkness of hell. We live in a nation that has been seduced into drugs and drunkenness and every kind of debauchery. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a Christian nation. And hell hath enlarged herself. No wonder we've got a gospel to preach. Amen. There's work to do. The laborers are few. We must lift up our voices and cry out. We must be different and not give heed to seducing spirits. So it says that these five ministries are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We're better for having prayed. We are better for having sung the praises of God. We are better for having humbled ourselves under His mighty hand. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And verse 14 is so important on this subject. It says that we henceforth, from now on, henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See that word wind? That comes from a Greek word which also means spirit. The Greeks believed that every wind was a spirit. Isn't that something with that Olympics over there? You talk about idolatry, the first magnitude. Here they go over there. Months ago, remember they had the priestess stand there on Mount Olympus, and a torch was lit by the rays of the sun as they summoned down the power of the sun god. It lit the torch. Then they take the torch and they light two sets of three other torches with it. Three and three. So they got six torches going there, plus the original. Now, they take three each of these and put them on a 747, Boeing 747 jumbo jet, along with 20 virgin priestesses. I don't know where they find 20 virgins nowadays, but put them on the, there's a serious note to that, but, and then put them on these planes and spend $150 million flying this thing to 36 nations. 36 because 6 times 6 is 36. 36 is a square of 6. And within 1 through 36, adding all those numbers together, you come up with 666. That's why they chose 36 nations. They have a religion about this. They've spent $150 million flying these torches around all over the world. They get back to Greece. They come into this big arena. They flood it with water to make a big lake. And then out comes this big idol. And then they've got all these other things, water spraying all over. And water crossing each other, forming X's. And then in the background, there's an S-E in front of each one. So it says sex, sex, sex. Yeah? And then they've got a pregnant woman standing in that lake there, and her belly is glowing. They got something on it to make it glow and pulsate. Any occultism there? And then they light the cauldron, and it was all done on Friday the 13th, 13 days after the witch's Sabbath. Now, it goes on and on and on, folks. That is witchcraft of the first magnitude. And then the gold medals everybody's seeking after, made from precisely 13 kilos of gold. There's that number again. All of this is a big display, a satanic display, seducing spirits. And who is the leader of the U.S. delegation? George Herbert Walker Bush, Poppy Bush, the former president. He's over there, he's living on a yacht and going to the games, and he's the big wheel over there. Folks, I look at all of this and I say, oh God, help us. You know, because God sees this. He sees this world. We have to always remember, look, the Lord is watching all of this. And He is the God that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He is the God that sent a flood upon the world. Is He going to ignore this present condition? Is He going to look the other way and make believe He doesn't see it or know it? No, He's very present and He's very conscious. And I'm so thankful that we can be with Him even now in the Spirit, in the harmony, and in the power of the blood of Jesus, in that harmony of the gospel, that we can be with Him having received the atonement, the at-one-ment, that we are made right by His power and saved by His call. Amen. Oh, dear. When I look at this whole thing, well, I've got a little bit of time left. Let's just finish this thought, and I've got another place we have to look at yet. So the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you realize there are people out there that are cunning? They are crafty. They are using sleight. Did you ever hear that word? With a magician, sleight of hand. Misdirection, making you look here while they're doing something here. And you thought you were looking all the time. Before the Lord really saved me, I was a stage magician. I used to do that stuff all the time. They do that. Sleight of hand. Hands quicker than the eye. Words quicker than the brain. Huh? Cunning craftiness. There are ne'er-do-good people out there that are up to no good. They have a plan to do no good. It is a conspiracy. I'm not afraid to use that word. Use it nowadays. They say you're a nut. Well, it's really something when you truly wake up and see that this whole world is an insane asylum and God gives you your sanity back. And then you realize that the foxes are running the hen house. And that the real insanity is present in those that are trying to lead. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Isn't that wonderful? But let's go back to the Old Testament briefly, very briefly to Proverbs, the very first chapter. The Lord gave me this morning, and I need to bring this out in a very definite way. You know, he starts out in Proverbs chapter 1 by saying, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when people understand. To a great extent, they've forgotten how to think. Do you realize how many people out there can't think? I wonder, for an example, you've got the President of the United States. You have the Vice President, all these different men, senators, representatives. Every one of them are sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States, right? How many have read it? I wonder if George Bush ever even read it and knows what it says. How can he swear to uphold something he's never read? A document that belongs to the people, and now the FBI has released a brochure that says, if you know of anybody who tries to use the Constitution against the government, report them. Well, the Constitution is written against the government. These people that came over here got out from the tyranny of the King of England. They said, we're not going to trust some lopsided, top-heavy central government. We're going to restrict them. Which is why the Constitution says to the government, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. Then you get to the part that says, and if we forgot anything, you can't do that either. It's in there. It was to restrict government and say, you can't do this. But they don't want it used against them? Is this a big animal farm? Remember the book? Orwell? Have things changed? Has there been a metamorphosis? It isn't like it used to be. I wonder if any of them have even read it. I wonder if they could tell you a half a dozen of the people who signed it. I learned it in school, didn't you? Think back now. I wonder if they could come up with 6, 3. These are the men sworn to uphold it. Thankfully, I had good teachers. You know, I was talking to my wife this morning about that. She said they didn't talk much about the Constitution. I said, well, I had a teacher. His name was Tom McGee, 5th grade. And he went into that thing and we had to learn it. And I remember back then, a 5th grade, what am I now, 54? I don't know how old I was in 5th grade. I was just a child, but we had to learn that thing. I wonder, our leaders today and people in general have lost touch. They say, yeah, we got this Constitution, but they don't know what it says. And I'll tell you something, if you're using words, even just in conversation, if you're using words and they're not in, you don't know what they mean, they're not in your vocabulary. You borrowed them, but you don't know what they mean. And I really have my doubts about our leadership if they even know what that document says, much less who signed it. Lyman Hall, Gwinnett Walton, Hooper, Hughes, Penn, Rutledge, Reed, Stockton, Witherspoon, Payne, Hopkinson, Hart, Clark, Bartlett, Jerry, Whipple, Adams, Walcott, Sherman, Morton, Clymer, Smith, Taylor, Wilson, Ross, Richard Henry Lee, of course, Franklin, John Hancock, Washington. You know who the last one to sign it was, way at the bottom? Tom McKean. What state was he from? Delaware. We had to learn this thing. People today don't know what it says. No wonder they can take it away from them. They don't know. If they knew what was really in it, you couldn't take it away from them. But it's going, going, gone. What happened? These are all signs. Seducing spirits have latched onto people's hearts and have drawn them away from anything that is really of value and have given them all kinds of ambiguous, mixed, sort of evil, basket of evil with nothing but activity that's from Satan. Oh, how we need to concentrate on what is truly valuable. Especially and foremost of all things, the Word of God. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You don't find that in the government school. I really wonder. I'd like to sit in on some classes and see what they're telling those children. There's an old saying that to teach a dog something is one thing you have to know. One thing, more than the dog. You take some of these homeschool children, put them up there, and they'll fly through those tests. And we are graduating people that can't read. They're coming out of there with a vocabulary of about 60 words. My parrot does more than that. Come out with a vocabulary of 60 words, half of them starting with F in all of its various parts of speech. What happened? Where are the brains? Where is the, you know, because when you follow seducing spirits, they'll take your sanity, they'll take your ability to function with your brain. You won't be able to think anymore. When you drink from the cup of Babylon, you become mad, insane. So says the Word of God. The cup of Babylon. So it says to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, which means riddles. It comes from a Hebrew word meaning riddle. This world's full of riddles. The fear of the Lord, there it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Notice, it doesn't say, hear the instruction of thy public school teacher. Does it? Hear the instruction of thy father. You know what a lot of people do? They've got the economy so bad that mother and father have to both go out and work. And then they send the children over to the government to educate them in one worldism, globalism, and give them all these other activities. And boy, do they make a mess out of them. Isn't that right? Well, God can help you if you really want the help. He can make a way where there is no way. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Who's supposed to teach the children? All right. Oh, but they got this wonderful thing set up where Rockefeller provides the textbooks and the Carnegie Endowment Fund, and you go in and they're going to shoot you up with immunizations. Poisonous immunizations. Now they got a law. Everybody's got to go and get a chicken pox thing before they go to public school here. And you look at what's in that? Thimerosal? Liquid mercury? I talked to a woman in Madison. She said, my son was just fine until he had his immunizations and he became suddenly autistic. Destroyed his life. That doctor doesn't know what's in that syringe. That nurse doesn't know what's in that syringe. Only the drug company knows what's in that syringe. And to stick something like that in and make a human voodoo doll out of your child and shoot that stuff into them, you've got to be really unconscionable to do it. And I know relatives will fight you on it and this and that. Oh, you're crazy. And then you show them the examples. Huh? Our children don't have immunizations. And none of them got sick with any of that stuff. You know why they get sick? They put them in that hotbed of bacteria over there called a public school. And everybody gives everybody everything else that they picked up at home and got from their parents who got it from the tavern downtown or wherever they had been or the whorehouse or somewhere else. Come on. They bring it home. Head lice and everything else. Creepy, crawly things inside and out. All right. The Word of God says that this instruction is like an ornament. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, there's that seducing spirit, consent thou not. Just say no. Kind of interesting, you know, the Republican National Convention's coming up and they ask Nancy Reagan to come and speak. You know, she's supposed to be this big, her husband was an 8-year Republican, 2-term president and all that. They said, we'd like you at the convention. She said, no, not going. Of course, she always was a liberal Democrat. She just didn't tell anybody. But I thought that was rather interesting. They really wanted her there, you know. Reagan support. He recently died. They thought she'd be a real asset here. She said, I'm not going. Just say no. Oh, well. When sinners entice you, say no. Consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Now, I know in your mind you're probably thinking, yeah, a pack of thieves in an alley. No. The United States government and the other governments of the world. Look at it. You see the same thing here. Boy, you can tell I haven't signed the little card, huh? I'm telling you the truth. The Antichrist system is upon us. It's alive, it's awake, it is functioning, and it's reaching out to you, and it's robbing your liberties, it's taking your freedoms, it's turning you into a human slave. That's why they don't have personnel departments anymore. They have personal resources, right? Resource department. Human resources, rather. Human resources. And they put you through orientations so you align with the East. And if you know anything about spiritual things, you know what it means to be aligned with the East. And so it says to say no to this. They're saying, come, let us lie in wait. It says they lurk privately for innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. One world economy. We're all going to have one purse. You look at the U.S. dollar. What is the dollar sign? It's an S with a bar over it. What does it mean? Under Satan's bondage. You look at the British pound. What is it? An L with a bar through it. Under the bondage of Lucifer. Look at the symbol for a pound. Go down by pound of something, whatever, at the market. Pound of navy beans, whatever you want. What's the symbol for pound? LB. Bondage of Lucifer. It's English. Comes from England. LB. Same thing as that L with a bar through it. You would think pound would be PD or something. It's LB. Because it traces back to England. And did you notice their currency is always the hallmark currency? It's always worth more than the dollar. That's why they're not on the euro. It's always got to be above, because the Lord Mayor of London, the titular head of the Masonic Lodge, Lodges of the Grand Orient, is ruling over all the economy, including this one. There are 13 men that run the economy of the United States, because when we supposedly won the Revolutionary War, you see, we had Washington as the commander-in-chief there, the head general, even though he kept losing. If it wasn't for Lafayette, Gates, and Greene, we'd have lost the whole thing. But then when Cornwallis decided to go to Virginia, because he started losing to some of these other generals, went into Virginia, and the war ended there, not because Washington won at Yorktown, but because of Jean-Baptiste de Rochambeau, the French army came in and won for us. Then Benjamin Franklin and John Jay went to Paris, and they signed the Treaty of Paris, where they signed the whole country, the United States, over to England again, because they signed as Benjamin Franklin, ESQ, Esquire, John Jay, ESQ, Esquire. And what happened? That gave the whole economy of this country over to English control. Esquire means agent of the king, the one they supposedly had just defeated. Shenanigans? Mysteries? Puzzles? Enigmas? Yes. And all of it perpetuated by seducing spirits from the devil. You and I have only one thing we can do. Yield to God. Call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can put your faith and confidence in this world. Nothing. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Iraq? If there was no oil in Iraq, if there's nothing there but dates and figs, would we be there? But we got to spill blood, right? Well, the Lord is going to take care of the whole thing. In fact, it says, surely in vain their net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. It's all going to come back on them. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets, but nobody's hearing it. It's like having a radio transmitter with nobody got the radio on, right? She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? A word from Hebrew which means naivety. People want to be naive. They want to be fooled. They don't care. You can pull a fast one over on them over and over and over, and they just don't get it. Give them their entertainment. Give them their television. Give them their cable, satellite network. 3 stations aren't enough. 20 aren't enough. They need 120. It never ends, does it? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, God says. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I'm preaching them this morning. And these will be heard all over the world. It's a wake-up call, folks, to pull away from those seducing spirits. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Oh, we better listen to God. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Why? When that last trumpet sounds, folks, it's over. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You do have a choice today. You can yield to God or not. I'll tell you what, hell is absolutely full of people right now, any one of which would give anything to have your seat this morning. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. And they're doing it. And the devil's got them eating blood in the form of chocolate, milk, yogurt, and coffee. Science does marvels, doesn't it? And be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Folks, it's dangerous out there, but the Lord promised us quiet. He promised us peace. He's equipped us. And He's brought forth His word. And Jesus said, wisdom is justified in all of her children. If you can hear this today, if this moves you, if this touches you, then thank God for you because the Lord's dealing with you. But if all of this is just like water off a duck's back, then I really don't have any answer except that perhaps someday enough judgment may fall where you would suddenly wake up. Even a moment before it's too late is better than nothing. But I wouldn't push the envelope. The Lord's coming soon. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are thankful, Lord, today that we could hear Thy word. Oh Lord, I'm thankful that we could be challenged by it. And I pray for all of those that will hear this, all that have heard it here, and all who will hear it on the tapes and the compact discs as they go around the world. Thousands of them, O Lord. I pray that the hearers, O Lord, would be shaken, brought to repentance, and come to a realization that we can still look up, even though we can look nowhere else. Lord, we can look to Thee, where we always should have been looking in the first place. Guide us and direct us by Thy power. Save our souls. Draw us nigh unto Thee. Let Thy will be accomplished, and let Thy direction be clear. Lord, Thou hast set before us an open door, because we've loved Thy name. Be Thou with us, I pray now, in Jesus' name, and let every seducing spirit be rebuked, bound, and cast out in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the power of the blood. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to sing a chorus, and we're going to have a dedication that will just take a few minutes. We have a wonderful family here from Minnesota that they just all want to be dedicated to the Lord. They brought their little baby in, but then they said, just dedicate us all. And we're going to pray for them together. So I'm going to have them come up. I think they're downstairs right now. And we'll sing this chorus. Sam, can you hear me up there? Do we have enough room to get this on, the dedication on, or do you have to start something new? Can we work that out somehow? Or do it separately? Okay. He may be running out of space because I was really long-winded today. What else is new, right? I don't intentionally do that. It just takes a while to get it all out. And it isn't really finished yet, but they had asked if they could get this on the recording, so otherwise we'll do a new little segment or something for them. But we're going to sing a chorus here. Let's have a word of prayer once more. Father in heaven, again we come to Thee in prayer. I thank Thee for all the people Thou hast brought here, and especially for this family from Minnesota that's come for this dedication. O Lord, let Thy blessing now be upon us and upon them as we stand in Thy presence and reach out to Thee, O God. Lord, be with us and help us. Put Thy purpose in our hearts in Jesus' name. We thank Thee for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Shirley, if you want to come to the piano. Amen. Let's sing that chorus, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Amen.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
Amen. Thank God. All right. We're just waiting here for a moment for them to come up. I don't know if they heard me. Maybe you can check. Yeah. That would be good. Here they come. We're fine. Amen. I didn't know if you had heard me call for you or not, so. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's this beautiful little